It's November the 27th. Let's read the Bible. Friends, welcome back to this year-long journey from Genesis to Revelation in just 1 year. So glad to have you with us today. A thank you to all the friends who've been watching and telling your friends and clicking the like button on those videos and sharing them. And thank you for subscribing to the Keep Believing YouTube channel and the Keep Believing Rumble channel. Those things help us a great deal. Well, today, we're in the Old Testament. We're reading the book of Hosea. You know, there are the major prophets and there are the minor prophets. There are five books called major prophets: Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Called major not simply because they have very important messages, but really due to the length of the books, especially Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, really quite long, and it took us a while to get through those. Now, today, we start the 12 books of the minor prophets with Hosea, a book that we probably don't hear too many sermons from, or if we know this book, we only know one thing about it. We're going to, the next 3 days, take our time a little bit and think about this book. Hosea, let me say this, just at the up front. There are two names that should go together in your mind. One is Isaiah, and the other is Hosea. Isaiah and Hosea. They ministered during the 700s B.C. Isaiah from about 740 B.C. to maybe 680 B.C. Hosea from about 785 to 725 B.C. The key thing to know here is that both of them ministered in the years leading up to the fall of Israel, the northern 10 tribes, the taken into captivity by the Assyrian army, and the people of the northern 10 tribes scattered as a group. They never returned to the promised land. Here's the difference: that Isaiah, even though he was in that time period, he focused his attention on what was happening in the southern two tribes in Judah, especially what was going on, the sin and corruption of Jerusalem. Hosea's different. He ministered from 785, when there was relative peace and prosperity, to about 725, just 3 years before the fall of the northern kingdom. And he focuses on those northern 10 tribes, up on their sin, on their compromise, on their disdain for the people on the margins, the widows, the poor, the orphans, and how corrupt the spiritual and national leadership had become. If you want to know why the northern 10 tribes went into captivity, read this book. So we've got that. We've got the dates, 785 to 725 B.C. We've got that he's a contemporary of Isaiah. We've got that he focused on the northern kingdom. But that's not what we remember about Hosea. What we remember is he married a harlot. He married a prostitute. There's a lively debate about whether he married this woman God told him to marry and later discovered she was a prostitute, or later she became one, or did he marry her knowing that was who she was? It's difficult to decide, although I lean toward the second, that God told him to marry this woman whose heart was already going in the wrong direction, because God intended to use that marriage to send a message, an object lesson to his people. So here's what we have. There are three parts of this book. There's chapters 1, 2, and 3. That's the story of the marriage of Hosea to Gomer, what happened, and how God restored it in the end. Then there is the statement about, it's sort of applied this way. See what Hosea did. See how his wife left him, how unfaithful she became. That becomes the background of the second section on judgment. And finally, the last part of the book is restoration. You could say it this way: story of the unfaithful wife, chapters 1, 2, and 3. The unfaithful nation, chapters 4 through 10. A faithful God, chapters 11 through 14. Sin, judgment, restoration. Here's another outline. Unfaithfulness described, chapters 1, 2, and 3. Sin denounced, chapters 4 through 10. Restoration declared, chapters 11 through 14. Unfaithfulness, sin, restoration, or sin, judgment, and restoration. So we pray, Lord, speak to us from this ancient story. Open our eyes that we might behold wonderful things from your word. Hosea chapter 1. This is that first part, the unfaithful wife. The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, son of Beeri, during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and of Jeroboam, son of Joash, king of Israel. When the Lord first spoke to Hosea, he said this to him, "Go and marry a woman of promiscuity and have children of promiscuity, for the land is committing blatant acts of promiscuity by abandoning the Lord." So he went and married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. The Lord said to him, "Name him Jezreel, for in a little while I will bring the bloodshed of Jezreel on the house of Jehu and put an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. On that day I will break the bow of Israel in Jezreel Valley." She conceived again and gave birth to a daughter, and the Lord said to him, "Name her Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no longer have compassion on the house of Israel. I will certainly take them away, but I will have compassion on the house of Judah, and I will deliver them by the Lord their God. I will not deliver them by bow, sword, or war, or by horses or cavalry." After Gomer had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and gave birth to a son. Then the Lord said, "Name him Lo-Ami, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. Yet the number of the Israelites will be like the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or counted. And in the place where they were told, 'You are not my people,' they will be called sons of the living God. And the Judeans and the Israelites will be gathered together. They will appoint for themselves a single ruler and go up from the land, for the day of Jezreel will be great." Hosea 2, "Call your brothers, my people, and your sisters, compassion. Rebuke your mother, rebuke her, for she is not my wife and I am not her husband. Let her remove the promiscuous look from her face and the adultery from between her breasts. Otherwise, I will strip her naked and expose her as she was on the day of her birth. I will make her like a desert and like a parched land, and I will let her die of thirst. I will have no compassion on her children because they are the children of promiscuity. Yes, their mother is promiscuous. She conceived them and acted shamefully, for she thought, 'I will follow my lovers, the men who give me my food and water, my wool and flax, my oil and drink.' Therefore, this is what I will do. I will block her way with thorns. I will enclose her with a wall so that she cannot find her paths. She will pursue her lovers, but not catch them. She will look for them, but not find them. Then she will think, 'I will go back to my former husband, for then it was better for me than now.' She does not recognize that it is I who gave her the grain, the new wine, and the fresh oil. I lavished silver and gold on her, which they use for Baal. Therefore, I will take back my grain in its time and my new wine in its season. I will take away my wool and linen, which were to cover her nakedness. Now I will expose her shame in the sight of her lovers, and no one will rescue her from my power. I will put an end to all her celebrations, her feasts, new moons, and Sabbaths, all her festivals. I will devastate her vines and fig trees. She thinks that these are her wages that her lovers have given her. I will turn them into a thicket, and the wild animals will eat them. And I will punish her for the days of the Baals to which she burnt incense. She put on her rings and her jewelry and followed her lovers, but she forgot me." This is the Lord's declaration. "Therefore, I'm going to persuade her, lead her to the wilderness, and speak tenderly to her. There I will give her vineyards back to her, and make the valley of Achor into a gateway of hope. There she will respond as she did in the days of her youth, as in the day she came out of the land of Egypt. In that day," this is the Lord's declaration, "you will call me my husband and no longer call me my Baal, for I will remove the names of the Baals from her mouth. They will no longer be remembered by their names. On that day, I will make a covenant for them with the wild animals, the birds of the sky, and the creatures that crawl on the ground. I will shatter bow, sword, and weapons of war in the land, and will enable the people to rest securely. I will take you to be my wife forever. I will take you to be my wife in righteousness, justice, love, and compassion. I will take you to be my wife in faithfulness, and you will know the Lord. On that day, I will respond. This is the Lord's declaration. I will respond to the sky, and it will respond to the earth. The earth will respond to the grain, the new wine, and the fresh oil, and they will respond to Jezreel. I will sow her in the land for myself, and I will have compassion on Lo Ruhamah. I will say to Lo Ami, you are my people. And he will say, you are my God. Hosea 3. Then the Lord said to me, go again, show love to a woman who is loved by another man and is an adulteress, just as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turned other gods and loved raisin cakes. So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and 9 bushels of barley. I said to her, you are to live with me many days. You must not be promiscuous or belong to any man, and I will act the same way toward you. For the Israelites must live many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred pillar, and without ephod or household idols. Afterward, the people of Israel will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They will come with awe to the Lord and to his goodness in the last days. That's chapters 1, 2, and 3. Remember, there's a story and then an application, if you will, and a promise. The story is the story of Hosea and Gomer. The message or the application is there's going to be judgment, but the word of hope at the end is there's going to be restoration. Unfaithful wife, chapters 1, 2, and 3. Now, this story is now applied in case they didn't get it. Unfaithful nation, chapters 4 through 10. So let's just see what chapter 4 has to say. Hear the word of the Lord, people of Israel. For the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth, no faithful love, and no knowledge of God in the land. Cursing, lying, murder, stealing, and adultery are rampant. One act of bloodshed follows another. For this reason, the land mourns, and everyone who lives in it languishes, along with the wild animals and the birds of the sky. Even the fish of the sea disappear. But let no one dispute, let no one argue, for my case is against you, priests. You will stumble by day. The prophet will also stumble with you by night, and I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I will reject you from serving as my priest, since you have forgotten the law of your God. I will also forget your sons. The more they multiplied, the more they sinned against me. I will change their honor into disgrace. They feed on the sin of my people. They have an appetite for their iniquity. The same judgment will happen to both people and priests. I will punish them for their ways and repay them for their deeds. They will eat, but not be satisfied. They will be promiscuous, but not multiply, for they have abandoned their devotion to the Lord. Promiscuity, wine, and new wine take away one's understanding. My people consult their wooden idols, and their divining rods inform them, for a spirit of promiscuity leads them astray. They act promiscuously in disobedience to their God. They sacrifice on the mountaintops, and they burn offerings on the hills and under oaks, poplars, and terebinths, because their shade is pleasant. And so your daughters act promiscuously, and your daughters-in-law commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they act promiscuously, or your daughters-in-law when they commit adultery, for the men themselves go off with prostitutes and make sacrifices with cult prostitutes. People without discernment are doomed. Israel, if you act promiscuously, don't let Judah become guilty. Do not go to Gilgal or make a pilgrimage to Beth-Aven, and do not swear an oath, as the Lord lives. For Israel is as obstinate as a stubborn cow. Can the Lord now shepherd them like a lamb in an open meadow? Ephraim, by the way, I just interrupt to say, Ephraim was a large tribe in the north. And so when you see Ephraim here in Hosea, it's not just talking about the individual tribe. It's talking, Ephraim's a symbol for the northern 10 tribes. Verse 17, Ephraim is attached to idols. Leave him alone. When their drinking is over, they turn to promiscuity. Israel's leaders fervently love disgrace. A wind with its wings will carry them off, and they will be ashamed of their sacrifices. Now, there's a lot more to come in this judgment section here. But boy, I mean, how many times, verse 11, did he say promiscuity or promiscuous? Promiscuity, wine, and new wine take away one's understanding. Verse 18, when their drinking is over, they turn to promiscuity. They get drunk. They turn to harlotry. They turn to immorality. They turn to perversity. The drinking and the immorality, the drunkenness, it all goes together, doesn't it? Let me just say this. You know who he lays it on? He lays it on the priests. Be careful who you put in leadership. He lays it on the priests and the prophets. The prophets are supposed to deliver God's message, and the priests were like the pastors of today, like priests like people, like pastor like people. You get the right leaders, it's a good thing. But you choose the wrong leaders, can corrupt a family, a home, a city, a state, or a nation. And it does that not explain a lot of the problems we're having here in America and around the world? We've got unqualified and unworthy people in leadership. So we ought to pray, God, give us leaders who are honorable. One other thing, and we are done. You know, I read the story of Hosea and Gomer, and in the end, they are restored. The whole thing is a picture of what God intends to do for his own people who have sinned, and they will be banished. They will feel like they are forgotten. God's going to bring them back. He's going to restore them. And chapter 3 says he's going to do it in the last days. And as I was preparing this, just to think about this reading, I don't know, sometimes this little phrase has come into my mind, and I thought about these words from an old-time invitation hymn written in 1880 by a man by the name of Will Thompson. I'll bet you know this one, Softly. Well, it depends. Depends on your generation. The younger ones may not know it, but if you're over 40 or 50, you probably do know this one. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. And this is from the third verse. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised for you and for me. And here's the part that came to my mind. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon. Pardon for you and for me. Come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, O sinner, come home. I love that phrase. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon. Pardon for you and for me. That's what God is saying to Israel. Though you have sinned, there is mercy and pardon. Come home, come home. Aren't you glad we serve a forgiving God? There'd be no hope for you and me. Just this is applied to ancient Israel, but the truth is for us today. Thank God for the mercy and pardon that are in Jesus Christ. Yes, when we sin, we suffer. Yes, when we sin, we are disciplined. Yes, when we sin, we pay the price. But though we have sinned, there is mercy and pardon. Is there anybody out there watching this video or listening to my voice who needs to come home? Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, O sinner, come home. Whoever you are, wherever you are, why don't you stop right now and say, Lord Jesus, I have sinned, and today I'm coming home. I have wandered away, and I'm tired. I'm tired of my sin. I'm tired of the disgrace. I'm tired of living this way. Lord Jesus, your mercy and pardon are great. And today, I am coming home. Let me tell you, if you dare to say that, he will not turn you away. But you'll never know until you actually turn to him. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon. Pardon for you and for me. Now, there's some more tough words ahead of us here. Tomorrow, a lot of tough words we're going to talk about tomorrow. But in the end, Hosea, I wrote this down, and I forgot to say this at the beginning. The whole thing about marrying a harlot, a prostitute, a promiscuous woman, was that he was going to take her back and restore her. This book is a book about God. It's not just about the sin of the people of Israel. It's about God and his unfailing love. God loves us, not because we are lovable, but because that's the kind of God he is. Go out, friends. Have a great day. Rejoice. Rejoice in the love of God for sinners, because that's the only way you and me are ever going to go to heaven. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon. Pardon for you and for me. God bless you, friends. Have a great day. Come back tomorrow. A lot more to talk about in the book of Hosea. See you then.